7.
Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. This is a program where we focus on exposing the myths and misconceptions associated with religion and politics, with military and economic schemes. It is a rich field when it comes especially to religious, political, and military myths. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning about some of the very sad things that are happening around the world, I'm going to try to explain why these things are happening, why they're happening now, and what it means to you and your family. Then during our second hour, we're going to do something vitally important. We're going to engage God on His terms through His Torah, which means teaching, not law, and I will try to introduce you to His one and only covenant. If you are rational, this will be the best part of today's program. Our number, should you want to question or criticize, even affirm, anything that I have to say is 877-376-45. One of the things that I heard this morning, I'm sure you did as well, that the space shuttle is currently in San Francisco. Of course, it's sitting on top of a 747, and that it's going to be whisked along the California coast, including in front of the Hollywood sign. And it struck me that America was once the greatest manufacturing nation the earth had ever known. We were once the greatest economy the planet had ever known. And now this mighty space program where we sent a man to the moon and returned back, all accomplished in a decade's time, is rendered to photo ops. That's all that's left. Photo ops. You know, I think about football games and baseball games and opening season events and parades, and the American military spends some $200 million a year doing flybys at these kinds of events. What have we been rendered? A nation of photo ops. Is it any wonder that a photo op, a amateurish video, and some cartoons are causing us so much trouble? Trouble that we as a nation have no clue how to deal with. Well, there are fresh protests underway all across the Muslim world today. This is the Muslim Day of Prayer. You see, Muhammad needed a special day for his new religion. And he could not, even though he says that his Quran confirms the Torah. Now, that was, of course, a lie, because had it confirmed the Torah, then the special day for Muslims would be the same special day for all who observe the Torah, which is the Shabbat, the seventh day. But that is not the case for Muslims, and of course Christians, misled by Constantine, by sun god worship, they worship their god on Sundays, consistent with the pagan history of Babylon. So Muhammad, he needed his own special day for his own wannabe God, and he picked Friday. So today, as Muslims are indoctrinated in mosques across the country, across the world, we will find them roaring out of their mosques, enraged, hateful, violent, uncivilized. It is indeed like Pavlov's dog. You insult anything having to do with Islam, and Muslims can't handle it. They begin to salivate. They chant death to whomever they think might indirectly be responsible, and they go off and kill. Such will be happening all across the Islamic world today, and has been happening now for a very long time. Fresh protests are underway in many countries, many of which are aimed at the United States, as if the United States had something to do with the amateurish film called Innocence of Muslims. You know, when you're so stupid, so irrational, that you can't make the connection between individuals in a country and maybe even one individual in a country making a film and that government as a whole and individuals in that country that have nothing to do with it, if you can't make that distinction, you ought not get out of bed in the morning. You most certainly ought not prove your stupidity by going out and chanting and burning and destroying and killing. All you do is make an utter fool of yourself. Well, at least two people died in Pakistan this morning as the government declared a special day of love for the Prophet Muhammad. Yes, that is how Muslims interpret a special day of love for the Prophet Muhammad. It was through violence and murder. In the capital, Islamabad, which is a descriptive term, in fact, it is a sentence, Islam is bad. Many people were hurt as protesters tried to storm the city's diplomatic enclave to reach the U.S. Embassy, as if the U.S. Embassy had anything to do with the movie. This is a statement that was made by our alleged ally in the war against terror. This is a statement that if Americans were rational, if Americans were moral, it would tell all Americans that we need to replace our government, that we need to try both in absentia now, Bush and now Obama, for treason. That we ought to disband the American military, that we ought to recall every politician in the nation, that we ought to start all over again. You see, the United States is spending some $5 or $6 billion a year between aid and weaponry, allegedly in the in creating an ally of Pakistan so that Pakistan can go after the same terrorists that we're going after. Now, of course, if you'd spent any time at all studying this situation, you'd realize that the Taliban was created by Pakistan. It's part of the Pakistani government. Always has been. When the United States, back in the Jimmy Carter administration, wanted to give the Soviet Union a taste of what they gave us in Vietnam, we went to the Pakistani government to deploy the Taliban. We funneled money and weapons to the Taliban by way of the Pakistani government. And now in fighting the Taliban, we claim that the very government that formed, controls, arms, equips, and directs the Taliban is our ally against them. Now talk about stupid. You ought not be supporting and patriotic of a government that stupid. Well, today, the Prime Minister of Pakistan, Raja Parvez Ashraf, this is what he had to say. An attack on the Holy Prophet is an attack on the core belief of 1.5 billion Muslims. Therefore, this is something that is unacceptable. He told Muslims who are rioting, who are killing, who are murdering, who are destroying, that what they are doing is correct, and that criticism of a man who is a rapist and a pedophile, a man who is incestuous, a man who is a sexual pervert, criticizing a man who is a mass murderer, a slave trader, a kidnapper, a thief, that criticizing such an immoral idiot, such an immoral clown, is wrong. That criticism of evil is wrong. And yet enraged response to the truth and killing to suppress the truth is right. And here is the Prime Minister of the very nation America alleges is our prime ally in the war against terror. Mr. Ashraf called on the United Nations and international community to formulate a law outlawing hate speech. Outlawing hate speech across the world. Blasphemy of the kind witnessed in this case is nothing short of hate speech, equal to the worst kind of anti-Semitism or other kind of bigotry. He lied. Think about that. What this man, what Muslims across the world want to achieve is they want to silence the voice of anyone who would dare tell the truth. independent truth needs to be told. You've got 1.5 billion people who have surrendered their souls, who have surrendered their minds, and who are willing to surrender their bodies to kill on behalf of the most perverted and disgusting man who ever lived. And any attempt to say, that's not right, you ought not to do that, you ought not to trust this pervert, this terrorist, this thug, this disgusting liar, that's hate speech. You are hating when you try to help people. Amazing how this world is upside down. But the Quran itself and the Hadith of Islam are filled with such ideas. It's why in every Islamic country, it is a penalty punishable by death to do anything that could be considered insulting, critical of Muhammad, Islam, or the Quran, in addition, Allah. To say that Allah was modeled after Satan, to say that Muhammad, by his own admission, was demon-possessed, to say that the Quran is a declaration of war against all humankind, are irrefutable statements of fact. But if Muslims have their way, if Mr. Ashraf has his way, if the United Nations and the international community agree, as so many countries around the world have done, telling people the truth will be outlawed. It will be illegal. Imagine that. What that also says is the testimony of Yahweh, the creator God of the universe, will be illegal. It will be hate speech because God hates religion. He hates politics. He hates moronic laws whereby the truth cannot be told. The very testimony of God himself will be outlawed by man, considered unacceptable. Now, understand that in this particular movie, it was amateurish. It is that 14 minutes. If that 14 minutes causes you to be enraged, you have a serious problem. You are really messed up. The only intelligent response to that movie is to laugh at it. It is so rank and so amateurish. But its themes, save one, are all true. Muhammad was a pedophile. Muhammad was a mass murderer and a terrorist. He was suicidal. And these are things we should all know and proclaim. Good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yadam. We're talking about the insanity of the statement made by the Prime Minister of Pakistan the moment that statement was made. In fact, decades before, because the truth has been known for a very long time, the United States ought to have severed all ties with Pakistan, which right now Muslims are rioting, killing their own. What this man was saying is that criticism of Muhammad, criticism of the Quran, criticism of Allah, criticism of Islam is unacceptable. And he used terms like an attack. An attack. You know, we are so screwed up in this world. An attack. Think of that. This was a childish movie. No weapons in the movie. I mean, if they had props that were swords, they were plastic. You know, if we can't distinguish between criticism, which are words wielded from lips, and rocks, and bombs, and bullets, rocket-propelled grenades, when we lose sight of the difference and how it is grossly irresponsible to respond to words, film, celluloid, the same way you would respond to bullets and bombs, then we've lost our way. An attack. Come on. That's reprehensible. holy prophet. Let's just say for a moment that the term holy is a religious term, that it depicts something that is good and pure. Now, God doesn't have a term even remotely related to holy. His term is Kodesh, which means set apart. But let's use this, the religious term. It was used in a religious context, holy. According to the Islamic scriptures, the only caricature that can be drawn accurately of Muhammad is that his sexual perversions dominated his life. He hated women, and he abused women. There are many rapes depicted in the Hadith. The Quran endorses rape. Muhammad himself was a rapist. Muhammad engaged not just in the initial act of pedophilia when he was 50 years old, having sex with a 6-year-old girl. He did it repeatedly throughout his life with many young children. Muhammad married his son's wife, that's incest, took her from him. He had a harem that at times between concubines, sex slaves, alleged wives, was into the high 20s, low 30s. Guy was a sexual pervert by any standard, by rape, by pedophilia, by incest, by just sheer quantity. The man was a sexual pervert. How is that holy? Let's move to the violent side. He was a mass murderer. Not only did he kill in his terrorist raids, but there are times where in the town that he developed Islam in, which was Yathrib, which was a town dominated by Jews, after stealing their property, after enslaving their children, after raping the women, Muhammad would parade one Jew after another in front of him and in front of his fellow Muslims and slice off their heads to their screams, making their women and children watch as they killed their fathers, their brothers, their husbands, one at a time, in front of Muhammad. He led 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. The sole purpose of the terrorist raids was to confiscate booty and to fund his new religion. It's a fact. 75 terrorist raids in 10 years. There was only two of those fights that were even in the remotest sense could be looked at as defensive, only two of the 75. And they were defensive because he had so routinely terrorized those who came after him that they had no choice but to try to defend themselves in this way. Muhammad admitted twice in his life that he was demon-possessed. He was suicidal twice in his life. Immediately after receiving the first Quran revelation, he tried to commit suicide by his own testimony. And then by again his own testimony, he said he was demon-possessed. He repeated those claims in the last days of his life. This is a man the world does not know, but needs to know. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. There may be five people in the Western world between Australia, New Zealand, the United States, Canada, Central South America, and Europe. I'm sure there's other places who consider themselves part of the West, and I apologize if I have left you out. That was not my intent. But there are some five people that I'm aware of who are prepared and willing to tell you what we have shared on this program. Pretty pathetic, isn't it? There's a world out here of 7 billion people. And let's exaggerate and say there's 7 people. who have devoted the time to come to know Islam as it is, Allah as he wants to be, Muhammad as he was. Not based upon people's interpretations, not based upon religious rhetoric, but based upon the only and oldest surviving evidence. 5 to 7 people in a world of 7 billion. It's pretty sad. And when I share with you that Muhammad was the least holy person to have ever lived, the fact that he was an egomaniac, the fact that any time somebody criticized him, he had his first Muslim mujahideen murder them, just as they're doing today. The fact that he raped and enslaved and robbed and murdered every Jew within a camel ride of Mecca and Medina. And that once he had overhunted Jews, he turned his Quran, his God, his religion against Christians, and began to murder and rob them. And that every aspect of his life was driven by his cravings for perverted sex, and that is what rape is, that is what pedophilia is, that is what incest is. It's not loving sex, it's perverted sex, it's twisted, demented sex. And that's what drove him, that and a lust for money and power. Now, those who would try to criticize what I'm sharing with you would be universally either ignorant of Islam, or they would be beneficiaries of Islam. As those who are ignorant of Islam, they would say you're taking these statements out of context. My response to that, of course, is that how is that even possible? Are you aware that there is no context to the Quran? The Quran is not presented in chronological order. The Quran is not presented contextually by topic. There is absolutely no context to the Quran. None. Neither by chronological order nor by topic. It's impossible to take the Quran out of context. In fact, in Prophet of Doom, I do just the opposite. I put the Quran in the context of Muhammad's life and I reorder it chronologically. I do the very thing that those who would lamely try to defend Islam against these criticisms are claiming. Then they would say, you are mistranslating the Quran and Hadith. Oh, okay then. Since the book Prophet of Doom relies on the 5 most revered, most universally accepted translations of the Quran, written by the most esteemed Arabic scholars, perhaps you could tell me the names of more credible translators and translations. After all, Prophet of Doom, and my analysis, my documentation, is all based on the 5 most credible, most popular, most universally accepted Quran translations, of which I provide in their entirety on the very site where the book is presented free. Oh, but you can't include the Hadith. All Islam is the Quran. There's nothing more to Islam than the Quran. Oh, is that true? Then why does the Quran say that Muslims must follow Muhammad's example? Which is why the world's in such a mess. Muhammad was a rapist. He was a pedophile. He was a sexual pervert. He was a mass murderer. He was a kidnapper. He enslaved. Muslims are following his example when they are terrorists. They aren't radicals when they are terrorists. They are fundamentalists because Muhammad was a terrorist. So that doesn't seem to work, does it? How do you follow Muhammad's example, which is what the Quran orders Muslims to do? In fact, the Quran repeatedly says that Muslims must also follow Muhammad's orders. If the Quran is supposed to be from Allah, and therefore it doesn't include Muhammad's orders or Muhammad's example. So the only way to do that, my friends, is through the Hadith, which are the oral reports of the words and deeds of Muhammad. And here's the truth. There is no difference between the Quran and the Hadith. They came from the lips of the same man, that perverted soul we know as Muhammad. All of it from the same person, All of it was transmitted to us the same way, by hearsay, by the same people, over the same period of time. The fact is that there's not one of Islam's five pillars that can be followed from a religious perspective without the hadith. Sharia law is based on the hadith. So then the next argument would be, well, you're not an Arabic scholar.
No,
that's true. Why is that relevant? You're telling me that Allah's book, that the Quran and Hadith are the only books in human history that are so poorly written, and that Arabic is such an impoverished language that it's the only language and only book that can't be translated into other languages? Is that what you're suggesting? Or have you ever thought of the fact that, well, the Quran claims to be pure Arabic on two occasions. The fact is that every important word in the Quran is Hebrew, including Quran. Quran is from the Hebrew kara, means to read and recite. You see, there are no arguments against what I'm saying. One of the reasons that I still live, after having written the most condemning book ever against the religion of Islam, is that there is no way to confront Prophet of Doom. Prophet of Doom is not comprised of my opinions. Prophet of Doom is a 1,000-page presentation of the words and deeds of Muhammad, all presented and documented chronologically in his words from the oldest Islamic sources. You can't refute that. If you were to say Prophet of Doom is untrue, then what you're saying is the five books that comprise Islam, that comprise the totality of what we know about this man he called the Holy Prophet, what you would be saying is that the five sources, and the only five sources written within 250 years of his life and death, are untrue. So the only way to prove that what I am telling you is untrue is to say that the Quran and the four hadith collections, the Sirah, Tariq, Muslim, and Bukhari's hadith collections, are untrue. And should those things be untrue, then Muhammad is unknown, Allah is unknown, Islam ceases to exist. But what happens today is that most people don't bother to shed their ignorance. They think that ignorance is bliss. They don't know, they don't care. And so when a trailer comes out that shows Muhammad as a pedophile, they think that's insulting to him. But that's like saying that Sandusky of Penn State was a pedophile, and that being an insult. It isn't. He was. You know, that's like saying that the guy convicted of rape who confessed to rape is a rapist, and that would be a slur against him. No, it's not. Not if you admit to rape. Muhammad did. When a person conducts 75 terrorist raids and orders Muslims to raid with him and tells those Muslims who are unwilling to act as a jihadist in support of his terrorist raids, when he says of them they're hypocrites that Allah hates and is going to torture in hell, to call Muhammad a terrorist is not an insult. It's true. To say that Muhammad was suicidal isn't an insult. It's true. To say that Muhammad was demon-possessed, it's not an insult. It's true. The same thing would be true of Paul. When I say that Paul was demon-possessed, that he was inspired by one of Satan's messengers, I'm not slandering him. I'm not insulting him. I am conveying what he himself wrote of himself. Read 2 Corinthians. Look what he has to say about the thorn in his side. The same thing is true with Muhammad. Right after the first encounter with the dark spirit in the cave while conducting pagan rituals, he said he was demon-possessed. He tried to commit suicide, and again at the end of his life. When you speak the truth, when you can prove what you say is true, when evidence all points in one direction and the conclusions are undeniable, when they are irrefutable, then the person who is hateful is the person without the compassion to tell people the truth. The person who is merciless, who is uncivilized, is the one who condemns the movie as opposed to condemning the response to it. And that is exactly what the President of the United States has done. That's exactly what the Secretary of State has done. They have condemned the movie, calling it reprehensible. They have echoed this idea that Muhammad was a holy man. They have even echoed the idea that this man was a prophet. He wasn't a prophet. He didn't get one prediction right. Yes, Scott?
Not only that, but they're apologizing for something that American citizens have the right to, free speech. We can say whatever we want, whenever we want, technically. I mean, there's repercussions of everything you say, but when they apologize for that, they're technically apologizing for a right that we have.
But, you know, that's a right that is given to us by our Constitution, a document that America ceased to pay any attention to a very long time ago. That Constitution has lots of things in it that the government usurps. And so, while that is a right granted by the Constitution, it is fading quickly. And it will be gone in a very short number of years. If you want to know the truth, and you're listening to this program, you have a very short period of time to learn it. Because very soon, God's own testimony will be deemed hateful and will be banned. It is something to think about, particularly if you care for your soul and the souls of your children. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. To Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We were talking before the break about the utter stupidity of the Islamic response to cartoons depicting Muhammad accurately and to movies that, while they may be amateurish in their creation, still convey accurate themes, and yet the political representatives of America apologize on behalf of the Muslims and denounce the movies as opposed to the response to them. Yes, Scott?
I was going to say there's another form of stupidity that we kind of talked about in the break. The lack of questioning why for American people. Why are they doing this? Why do they act like this? What causes them to do this? And if they would do that, it would turn them to the Muslim religion.
Yes.
And that would give you your answers why. They do this because their religion compels them to do this, you know?
Yes. The first book I wrote on Islam was called Tea with Terrorists, and it was about a meeting that I had with Al-Qaeda where I asked Al-Qaeda, why are you killing us? It's a simple question. Why are you killing us? Because motivation is the key. If you want to effectively combat a foe, you have to understand what it is that motivates that foe to be your enemy. It is the most fundamental question. Why are you killing us? Well, what they did is they cited the Quran and Hadith. They cited quotations from Muhammad, where Muhammad ordered them to kill. And so I was in the same position that everyone in America should have been in after these 19 Muslims became suicide bombers and flew airplanes into our buildings. When that occurred, every American, and especially those in the military and politics and academia and in the media, all ought to have done what I did. They ought to have asked, why did you do this? Well, as it turned out, the very terrorists who flew those planes into the buildings told us. They all recorded videos quoting from the Quran and Hadith, the same quotations that I had been told when I met with Al-Qaeda. In the voice recorders of those airplanes, what we hear is Allahu Akbar. All you have to do is look at the origins of Allahu Akbar, which is the terrorist raid of Kabar, where Muhammad's militants, after failing to successfully defeat Mecca, satiate the carnal desires of the militants by allowing them to attack a easier prey, the Jewish farming community of Kabar, where they killed the men, raped the women, slaved the children, robbed the possessions of those they had terrorized. And that is when Allahu Akbar, as the Islamic prayer of fear, was first uttered. It tells you who they were and why they were killing. Now, once I had asked that question, the most basic of all questions, I was now confronted with one of two choices. There were one of two possibilities. Either these terrorists had corrupted their religion and they had taken these violent statements out of context, and there was a whole sea of nurturing and uplifting and moral platitudes in the Quran and in the Hadith, and that these were just cherry-picked and misinterpreted and misquoted to insinuate that they should keep wage war against all humankind. Or they were quoting their prophet and God accurately and conveying the primary theme of those very books. Those are the only two choices. So either they had corrupted their religion or their religion had corrupted them. There were no other options. So what did I do? I devoted 10,000 hours. 4 or 5 years of my life, 6 days a week, 10 to 14 hours a day. And I not only studied the earliest Islamic sources, I'm among the first, if not the first, to reorder the Quran chronologically and to set it into the context of Muhammad's life using the biography of Muhammad collected by Ishaq, using Tabari's History of Islam's Formation, and using the two topical arrangements of Hadith by Bukhari and Muslim. And I wrote a second book, this one, Prophet of Doom. 1,000 pages that documents what Muhammad said and did by presenting the Quran in chronological order and in the context of his life. And when you do that, you will know why. I have told you why. Muslims today are killing because they are following Muhammad's example. And they're following Muhammad's example because their Quran and its God ordered them to do so. And once you come to know that, you don't apologize for movies. You instead criticize the response to them. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
I had tried everything. I'd cut back the amount of food I was eating. I was lifting weights and jogging, but nothing was working. My body was literally starving for minerals and...